just sisters from different misters, but you know, we couldn't resist calling it Black and White classic movie commentary. So I'm Moya Jackson, and you are?
I'm Georgia Dixon.
Okay, and we are co-workers, but we're also friends. And we just happened to stumble upon our love for classic movies. I don't even remember how we started talking about it. I don't remember how we did either.
Oh. Maybe one of us made a reference to a classic movie.
Probably so, yeah. And so we've been talking about classic movies amongst ourselves for about 5 years now. Since I've been here, I think. And it's been about 5 years. And duh, it finally dawned on us. Well, what we're saying is so important that we must share this with the rest of the world. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So Georgia... Georgia is, yes, she loves Turner Classic Movie. We both do. We also love the live streaming that Netflix, excuse me, and Prime Video, Amazon Prime Video, they have a great library of classic black and whites, film noir. But we mainly look at Turner Classic Movie. Would you agree?
I wholeheartedly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So... recently, Georgia had the great opportunity to watch the one, the only, Miss Bette Davis, and two of her just unforgettable roles. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Just unforgettable roles, like two of her main roles.
Absolutely. I mean, these two movies that we're going to be reviewing, she gives a tour de force, a bravura performance in these, and the level of acting is unparalleled. If you have never been introduced to Bette Davis before and you see her in these movies, you will be thoroughly amazed at how she is able to play such different characters, but yet she does them with such amazing talent and skill.
Yes, and no, we don't have any trivia about Bette Davis. Just go look up for yourself. I mean, remember the song? Well, some of you don't, but Bette Davis Eyes. I mean, her career spanned at least 80, well, she died in the 90s. So 60 plus years like the early 30s to like the 90s. And she acted until her death, because her last movie was The Wails of August with she and the silent movie star
Lillian
Queen.
Gish.
Yes, right. And Vincent Price was in that well. Mm-hmm. And I think she was nominated for that role. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember, but she did get critical acclaim for that movie. But that was her last role. That was post the stroke. And Bette Davis was always a character, and she became just another character after that stroke. She had, always had that Bette Davis look. But remember, she would have that curly, that, you know, it was a red wig. And she was still smoking. She was like this big. And she had, you know, you had the effects of the stroke. And she was like, no, I never want her. And I was like, I love this woman. And I don't think I had seen her, all of her stuff. So I knew her from the stroke. So I had to work backwards. And I was like, this is the best actress ever I've ever seen.
And, you know, even Meryl Streep said there is Bette Davis and then there are other actresses.
Yes.
Even Meryl Streep herself.
Right. So, the two movies that Georgia recently saw was Mr. Skeffington with Claude freaking Rains. Okay, we're gonna riff on him. And The Little Foxes with Herbert Marshall. And... So let's we couldn't decide which one we'll talk about first, but we've been talking about Mr. Skeffington all week, so let's just keep on with Mr. Skeffington. So Georgia, just give the audience a brief synopsis. What is Mr. Skeffington about?
Okay, the story takes place around the turn of the century, and Bette Davis plays the belle of the ball. Mm-hmm. This is a woman who reminds you quite a bit of like what Scarlett O'Hara is like. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to diverge here just a bit, but people may not know this, but she actually tried out for the part of Scarlett O'Hara, but she wasn't chosen for it. And so she is this woman who has all these men who come and they visit her and they court her, and they're giving her these marriage proposals. And she is with in a very wealthy family. She is a genteel and refined. And even though you can see from the very outset this is a very vain person, you can't help but still like her. There's something about her. I mean, she's a very sweet person.
Right, she's like childlike.
She is. She's very, like, the epitome of hospitality to all of her visitors, and very sweet. But then as you get into the movie, you find out that her brother he works for Mr. Skeffington. And the movie, you'll notice later on, you'll see, like, why is this movie called Mr. Skeffington Fanny? But anyway, so you get into the movie and you find out that he's been embezzling from Mr. Skeffington. And so Mr. Skeffington visits the home and has not called law enforcement and says, you know, I realize this is going on. And he doesn't want to create a scandal, and the family is on the brink of financial ruin anyway. And so the story takes off even with all these suitors, he sees that she is this woman who is like a trophy in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's very popular. Right. She's considered the most beautiful woman around. And then at some point, the two of them, the Bette Davis character, her name is Fanny. I think her name is like Trellis or something like that. She gets married to Mr. Skeffington. And then you see how this marriage evolves, mm-hmm. what happens with both of them. And that's where things really, really get even more interesting, is with the two of them, the way they play off each other is the most astounding interplay you will see. I mean, they have captured two of the greatest stars of all time on the silver screen. Right. And so Moy and I are going to go ahead and talk to you about what happens with that. I think one of the things that people may not know about Bette Davis is that she, even though she is this very naturally beautiful woman, she has this fantastic figure. And you can see the people who costumed her played off that she's got this little tiny waist. And she is just, she's got it all.
She's boobalicious.
She was, and she plays this part really well. And the thing is she plays this woman who's very vain and very preoccupied with her beauty and how people are attracted to that. I mean, that's her whole persona. But what people don't know is if you see a lot of her movies, she was willing to make herself a train wreck and to make herself like look horrible and awful and terrible. Right. And later on in the movie, what happens is she
Don't tell them too much.
Oh, okay.
Still go there because it's a part of the plot. Go ahead. Yes, just don't tell them.
She
changes.
Yes, she does. Yes. But this is what makes her acting to me so incredible and so amazing, is that she plays this person who is so lovely, she's not really that way, because she's willing to do whatever for her art.
Right.
And
she said that in interviews, literally what you said, it was all about the story, the character.
Yes.
She said she was willing to do, if they said cut your head off, she did it for the character, because it was all about the story and what that character needed. So you're correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that people will be interested in is the way you see Claude Rains and her, the way they each other.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Clinical for anyone who wants to be. So this is also why George and I decided to do this, because look, the movies stink nowadays. I'm just being honest, you know, and the romantic movies. I mean, you figured out the plot. Like in the first 10 minutes of the movie, you're done. And Skeffington has several acts that are so different from each other, and it winds up being one of the most romantic love story. It does not start out at all. I wish I knew who was the writer and director. I'm sorry, we should have had our notes. But anyway, whoever wrote and produced it and directed, they did such a marvelous job, because the way it ends up, you have no idea. There's tragedies. I mean, really bad, because World War II, is it World War II breaks out, and Skeffington is Jewish, I think.
He is Jewish.
Yeah, he's Jewish. Yeah. And I don't want to give too much, but he's Jewish. That's all I need to say. And it's World War II, and, you know, it affects him greatly, tragically. But just kudos to the people who produced and wrote and directed that. Because it, like I said, it has, just when you thought, okay, this is the end of the movie, or it's climax to a certain thing, it goes into something else, and you are riveted. So if don't wash your hair, don't get on the phone or pause it, because this is one you have to pay attention. There's no dull scenes. It's not boring, but you have to pay attention, because even though the minor characters, even if they have one line, it is so significant, because every line is meaningful, don't you think?
It is, and it tells you so much. And one of the lines that you will probably want to hear being said in this movie, and it will really get you to thinking about, is, "No woman is beautiful until she is loved." And that makes you really, you will hear that again, mm-hmm. and you start mm-hmm. to think about how we as women feel about our looks, how we mm-hmm. Look to other people,
right.
how we feel about ourselves. And also, one of the things that I, Amoy, what do you think about this? Because when I looked at that movie, it made me think about like marriage itself, because I thought marriage is like more than maybe attraction and right. and love. There's just so
a
much
smart one is a good
there's so
one
much
is.
More yeah. to it than mm-hmm. that. And so it made me start thinking about all these things yeah. because their marriage was not a conventional marriage by any means at all.
No. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Without giving away too much, like Georgia was saying, Fanny was this beauty. I mean, a showstopper. And look, she literally would drop a handkerchief in the room, the men would stop, okay? And this was when she was so, because they, and I just love Bette Davis, because she was able to play a young thing, maybe in her late teens, early 20s, ingenue or whatever, and then they showed her aging, getting to be in her 30s and 40s, but still being attractive to men and knowing it and owning it and manipulating. I love that she was, it was great. It was so delicious. And so, But even though the numbers changed, she was still so a child, you know, in her very aloof. She was very aloof, very self-centered and selfish. And like you were saying with the marriage part, so I can say with my own marriage, so I told George, I said, Skeffington, that movie taught me so much, not that I'm so beautiful. Because, you know, George, it's not about looks. You have to have looks, and because yes. then because there's some people who are not very good looking, but they have something about it that's sexy, or an aura, the way they carry themselves, you know. So it's not about that. And but I you know, I could relate, because when I was younger, I was quite a head turner, and I was a child. I was so into myself, and so then I got married, and my husband kind of reminds me of Skeffington, because he's so low key, and he realizes, hey, Moya's a star. That's fine with him. He's happy long as I come home and da da da. And but I didn't treat. I can say I don't. I think Skeffington helped me realize how much like Fanny I was, shallow, naive, aloof. No, I really was when I was younger. And I saw Skeffington several times, and it said, I don't want to end up like Fanny. And even and when I said that, I don't want to not grow up.
Yeah.
And treat a wonderful man like she treated Skeffington. And then you damn near, well, now you got to be nice to him, because you have to, because like nobody else wants your ass. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't want that either. But yeah, do you think this is a cautionary tale for women?
I think it is, because you should not take for granted. You know, because all people, you know, so many of them look all their lives for somebody who truly loves them.
Right.
And she had that in Mr. Skeffington.
The whole time.
And he was
he
so indulgent.
Her.
Yes, he adored her. I totally agree.
To his peril, and putting people on pedestals.
And so for her to just like not value that or
he
treasure
that. He was invisible
that.
To her.
Yes.
He was her ATM machine, and that's it. And they did have a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, the thing that really amazed me about Mr. Skeffington and that you're going to be watching for in this movie is